And now, welcome to Chai with Manju, with your host, Dr. Manju Shen.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Chai with Manju. Our guest today is a superstar of Indian fashion industry. She also has a very popular Netflix series named after her, Masaba Masaba, of course. She's the daughter of legendary Indian actress Nina Gupta and West Indian cricketer Vivian Richards. Masaba has been called the game changer in the fashion world because of her unique and flamboyant designs, which combine the traditions with the needs and comfort of a modern woman who loves fashion. Let's meet Masaba.
Masaba, welcome to the show and welcome to Boston. It's such a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine.
So I have to say, you are one of the biggest name in the Indian fashion industry now, but you were only 19 when you did your first, you showed your first collection at Lakme, and then at 20, you had your own brand. And now House of Masaba is a household name. And you're such a big entrepreneur. And I love that you say that fashion is the bridge between art and commerce. Great on Instagram, great on online sales. So tell us, what is your secret of success? And what is your advice to someone looking for a career in fashion industry?
I think the one advice that I would definitely have is that you require a lot of grit in order to really sustain in any business. You know, I always say that fashion to me is like any other business. It's like, it's pretty much like a corporate job, only with a bit more vanity in it, perhaps. So I always say that. And you need a lot of grit. You need a lot of determination, because fashion is one of those careers where it takes you a bit of time to really understand what path you're on, you know, whether you can make money off the business of fashion or not. So I think it's a bit of a testing kind of a profession. It really tests you, and it tests your grit and your patience. So I think my advice to anyone who wants to start this would be really patient, have a roadmap, but also be a bit spontaneous. I think that we all require a bit of spontaneity in today's world, because the world is changing so fast that it's so important to just adapt and move forward constantly. Right. So I think that would be my advice to anybody who wants to be in fashion. And I forgot the second part of your question.
What is your secret formula?
My secret formula, I get up and I show up every day. You know, I really don't, even though I have had lots of setbacks, personally, professionally, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like it. Sometimes you're not in the mood to create. And, you know, people forget that being a creative person, you need to come in there with 100% every single day. You require to give, you know, your whole sort of heart to the profession. But some days you just don't feel like it, you know. And then you have failures and setbacks. But I get up and I show up every day. I mean, I'm in front of my computer or in my office, in front of the mannequin every single day, no matter what. So I think that's the trick, I would say.
Perseverance.
Perseverance. Yeah.
Now, people look up to you for all the fashion trends. Now, who are your fashion icons? Who are your favorite fashion icons in the world?
There's so many. You know, back in India, I love Haseena Jethmalani. I think she's got such an amazing sense of style. Shobha Day for her saris. Impeccable taste in saris. And of course, Sonam Kapoor. I think for the new age, you know, youth icon is definitely her. And I must also say my mom, because she's got great sense of fashion, and I've obviously inherited that from her in terms of design. Internationally, I love lots of people. I used to love Karl Lagerfeld. Actually, I thought he was really stylish in his black and white suit. Love Rihanna, love Zendaya, and I love Kamala Harris as well. I must say, I love the sneaker show she put on when she was campaigning. And I also love the way she's just carried herself beautifully as this new age working power woman. I love
absolutely
all of them.
I like her suits.
Yeah.
So Now, if you had the choice to dress anybody you want, who would that be?
Madonna, maybe?
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah, Madonna would be. Yeah, because mm-hmm. I think she's got this very kitsch vibe going on, but in a very different way. And I think she would do India proud kitsch really well. So I'd love to dress her someday. I mean, she's the pioneer of so many style trends in the world, you know, with her music videos. So I'd love to see what she does with Indian fashion.
I find Nicole Kidman also so interesting because she seems to have in her clothes some really vintage Indian embroidery, things like that going on. I just saw her show Undoing. My God, her jackets and everything. To die for.
Stunning. And I think she's also she's almost she's like Barbie, you know. There's she's just tall and statuesque.
Yes.
And I love that about her. I love that about
her. Very elegant. Now my audience will never forgive me if I don't ask you what is the biggest fashion tip one can get from Azawa.
I think the one fashion tip is don't listen to anybody who gives you fashion tips. I will definitely say that because, you know, when I was growing up, I remember reading so many interviews and people would say, you know, wear this and wear these pencil pants and wear this kind of a top for this body type. I just say wear whatever you feel you're best in and don't follow trends. Don't follow what people are saying. Just wear what you feel you're best in. And if something fits, buy it in every color. That's the only tip I have.
I actually do that.
it's smart one. Yeah.
Right. Now, with all this COVID, of course, India is just hopefully coming out of it. Where do you think fashion is going to be after this big pandemic? Where will the industry go?
I think we're headed for a big change, you know, one that some brands can adapt to and some brands might not be able to adapt to. Mm-hmm. I think that we're going to move into a digital world, as they say, a mix of physical and digital. So it's going to be a steady mix of online shopping, which has been huge in the West. I think India is still catching up, but I think India will see that as a huge trend as well. And of course, I think with respect to offline stores and shopping, I think it'll all become about the experience, really, you know, because people are not going to walk into a store that just is another store anymore or a shabby store anymore, or that's just basic. I think people want to walk into experience centers, you know, and I think that if I had to give an example, I love the way Apple as a company does their stores. You know, those are experiences. You want to spend more time. Yes. You want to walk out with the product. So I think you're going to have to engage with customers at a very, very deep level. Give them a visual feast and then you'll have a loyal buyer. So I think that that's going to happen, which will mean that we might need bigger spaces or even with smaller spaces, but just experience centers more than anything, which sort of give people a window into what your brand is all about. You know, you'll see a lot of brands which have personal stories, which do very smart, honest communication with their consumers. Mm-hmm. Those are the brands that will definitely survive. And I think the biggest change we'll see in fashion will be that we will have to all become really, really inclusive as an industry, whether it's different body types, whether it's different skin colors, different, different backgrounds where people come from. We'll have to include everyone in the journey in fashion.
You've actually done that very well, haven't you? Right?
Well, I try. Yeah. I just realized that, you know, campaigns in fashion can't be intimidating. They have to be, they have to make somebody feel like they're a part of you, you know? So we always try and add, you know, women who are 50 plus or women who are new moms or, you know, a really, really young girl or a girl from the Northeast. So we try and mix and match our girls, dark skinned girls in India. I mean, they need so much representation across the world. So, yeah.
That, of course, brings me to your Netflix series, Masaba Basaba. I think it really made you the biggest superstar. I loved it. What impressed me the most was the ease and the honesty and the simplicity with which you did the role. You know, it was absolutely fantastic. So tell me, what was that experience like and what is next for Masaba and you on the acting front?
Wow. You know, that show was, firstly, I never thought it would ever release, or I never thought it would have any takers, by the way, because, and when my producer told me Netflix has picked it up, I think I nearly died because it was such a surprise. You know, it's a very new format for India. I mean, I think abroad you still have a few shows where, you know, you like you had Joey, that show, which where he was playing himself.
Absolutely.
I can't remember the name, but there was some Indian actor that did something as well. But it was such a new format for India. I thought people would think it's like keeping up with the Kardashians, but it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's part scripted and it's part reality. So I really enjoyed it. I think we made it with like a very honest, open heart. And I think that's why people liked it. And me and mom weren't really afraid of being ourselves. I think that's why the connect. In terms of acting, I'm really looking forward to doing more fiction work now.
Okay.
So I have been doing some auditions and stuff, which I really enjoy. So when I'm super stressed out with my business work, I always sort of like think of that aspect of my career, and I feel much better. And I think whenever I'm shooting, it's actually a release for me. I'm very calm, very relaxed. It's almost like a meditative experience. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. You are your mom's daughter.
I am. I mean, usually people are very anxious or whatever, but I look forward to being on a set, even if it's for a 2-hour photo shoot. I really look forward to it.
And is the series coming back soon?
Yes, season 2 is coming. We start filming soon though, so hopefully by the end of the year. I hope so.
Fingers crossed. That would crossed. That would make our day. What was the experience of working with your mom like? She's a legendary actress, national award winning, Nina Gupta. So what was that experience like, and what did you learn from her?
You know, I was nervous on day one. My first ever shot was obviously with her. And I remember I asked her, I said, you think I should do a couple of readings with you with the house? And, you know, like maybe you can teach me how to do something. And she said, nothing doing. Because if I show you how to do it, you will imitate me and you won't be your natural self.
Good point.
So she said, just wing it, listen to what I'm saying or the actor is saying, and just be relaxed and mean what you're saying. And that's it. So I remember being really nervous because the first scene I had with her had no dialogues, but just emotions via expressions. And I said, I am gonna be doomed if I screw this up. But it went really well, except for the one time that she told me in front of the whole crew that I'm doing a really bad job, because I was just so nervous. I was just trying to act, you know what I mean? And it was tough for me the first few days, because it was me playing myself, so I didn't know whether I should be over the top or myself. Is it going to be too little for camera? Is it going to be too much? So I had to find my rhythm, which I did eventually. But it's good, because she's good like that. She's one of those parents who always tells you, she's a great critic, and she told me exactly what I was doing wrong. So it was good having her on set. I warmed up to the other actors much quickly.
So I'm going to ask you a question which is very relevant to the current times. You know, now when you talk to young generation, especially since Kamala Harris became our vice president, biracial has become very cool. But you are a biracial child who grew up in a very stereotypical India, I would say, because I grew up there too. And growing up, you said you were very athletic, and you know, kids would tease you because you were big, said you look like a man, and that made you hate your body at some time. And however, I have to say that very amazingly, you've channelized all your thoughts and energy into self-appreciation and self-love. As a doctor also, I see a lot of mental disorders in young people who have gone through the body shaming in childhood or have not been just treated right. What advice would you give to these people who have gone through such experiences? And how did you change your life to make it what you are today, a role model for people across the world?
You know, the thing is that I feel like self-love and the journey into really like you said, channelizing negativity into positivity. Right. I think it's a constant job. I don't think it ever stops anywhere. Right. Or there isn't like an aha moment where you think, oh, this is it. Now I'm a better version of myself. I think it's a constant work in progress. More importantly, I think the only confidence I really got was when my work was appreciated. And this is what I believe. I believe that women especially look for validation in relationships. They look for validation in their family life, in, you know, in the places that they shouldn't be looking for validation, you know, and their bodies and how they look. So right. I think validation truly comes from the work you do. And I think that's the only way to channelize what people are saying about you in the negative to the positive, how people perceive you. Because like I said, I mean, you know, I mean, if tomorrow we've had biracial models and actresses for years, somehow that profession is just not something that people take seriously. And they think, oh, you know, it's another actor, whatever. But when you had right. Kamala Harris become vice president, suddenly yes. you're like, okay, this is serious. It's cool, yes. you know. And so that's what I think. I think that, unfortunately, we've been subject to a lot of bias as women across the world. And I think a scientist, a vice president, a doctor, a model should all be treated equally by the work and you know, sort of applauded for the work that they do. So I think work has made me who I am and nothing else. Because I think everything else in your life kind of keeps passing through. But the work you do, how seriously you do it, how well you do it, and how it connects with people, that's when you can really come into yourself. That's how it happened with me, for sure.
I also liked in one of your interviews, you said that how you create a private space for yourself, your inner sanctuary, you know, where you can just shirk off the world and be yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say that when you're in such a public profession, and I mean, mine isn't even half as public as what an actor is being like. And you have to have that one sort of, like you said, a sanctuary that you come back home to, or that you keep sort of going away to whenever you feel like everything's a bit overwhelming. I think it also helps keep you very grounded. And you need to have that so that you can do your work better. So I think that's very important to me. I mean, I nurture my close relationships really, really well, as much as I do my work. And I think that that's what really keeps me grounded.
It's so important for creativity, because I think creativity needs that soil of peace and harmony, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, creation. And this is what a lot of people from the corporate world don't get. They don't get that right. creative people need calm and peace to thrive. I don't think chaos is a great trigger for them. Yeah.
Sava, you're truly a woman of substance. I'm so impressed by all your accomplishments, and above all, how grounded you are and what a good human being you are. So tell me, what is next in Masaba land? Exciting world of Masaba.
So we're actually working on a bunch of things. A new collection obviously is always in the pipeline, but we're working on a really cool new range of lipsticks, which is our cosmetics line that we do with Nykaa, and there are more products in the pipeline for that as well, which I can't unfortunately talk about, but later on in the year you'll see that. And we're doing a very, very cool range of sleepwear, also with a very exciting partner, and that's probably Diwali sometime that we release it. And apart from that, I start filming for Masaba 2, so that's going to take up 2-3 months of my time, and that's about it. I mean, not too much, but lots more prints, lots more stories, a really fun festive collection for Diwali. And hopefully we can dodge the third wave. I think that's what we're just trying to.
You have to.
Lay low and dodge the third wave.
And I hope you are planning to expand in the United States as well. We would love to have you in Boston.
Oh, we'd love that. We are waiting for travel to open up so that we can take our little trunk and just take over the world, because that's something we love doing as a brand. I think we did something in Jersey a couple of years back. But Singapore, Hong Kong, the US, London, all of these places are, and the Middle East, we're dying to get our trunk over.
Okay. So we look forward to meeting you and wish you all the best for all your future endeavors. It was very nice meeting you.
Same here. Thank you.